Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP Bengals Beat podcast, presented by 50 West Brewery. Paul Daner Jr. here with you. Jim Osarski here with me. And hey, we made it.
Yeah, day one of the regular season, Paul.
Looks like we made it. Finally. You know, I just, the preseason's terrible.
Yeah.
There's a fun aspect to watching these guys all compete and figure out who's going to rise up. But it's so much what we talk about is guys that aren't necessarily going to really affect the big picture this season.
Right.
We talk about guys in the back half of the roster, and there's a lot of turnover there. We're going to get into Bengals cuts to 53, the dramatic reformation of this roster over the last 9 months, and we're going to get into the kicker decision. We're going to talk about our season predictions later. But really, you know, what all that happens, and it's like, okay, now can we talk about what really matters?
Right.
And that's how are they going to find a way to beat Baltimore on Sunday
right.
and win some more games, and that's going to be all about a whole bunch of different guys than those that we've spent the last month really kind of focusing on a lot.
Yeah, it's the blessing and the curse, Paul, of covering this team, I think, where, you know, this isn't Chicago or Houston or Cleveland when you're talking about quarterbacking. You know, there isn't, look, there was a first-round wide receiver and John Ross tweaks a knee, but even if he was healthy, we're not talking about the impact of the number one pick. I mean, it's just this team, as currently constructed since 2011, has been all about the back end of the roster, really.
Yep.
I mean, this is our third season preview together, and I don't think once we've talked about, like, starters being determined at this point, right?
No,
I mean,
rarely.
The kicker is it.
Yeah, kicker, and then you throw in, okay, maybe a nickel pass rusher type
yeah,
of
that
thing.
Was,
but, I mean,
you know, so,
it.
Yeah, I mean, Carl Lawson and Jordan Willis, like, forcing the Bengals to put Michael Johnson inside. It's probably the biggest, and that's, like, kind of, like, nitty-gritty football, which is cool. Like, that's what we're about. But, I mean, that, like, really? I mean, comparatively around the league, I mean, that's, like, not
a
move at all.
With the roster that changed dramatically.
Right, exactly.
So
exactly,
yeah, it's really it makes it interesting. And by the way, John Ross tweaked his knee on Thursday.
By the way,
contrary to popular belief on the interwebs, is still alive.
Yeah, Marv's dead.
Call me back, Marv's dead. The bottom line is this. I just love reaction of people in moments like that when a stereotype bubbles up. You know, John Ross, bad pick, injured all the time,
right?
So he has his first run. He tweaks his knee on the run. He'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Which, like, drives Bengals fans crazy, too. Couple weeks. He's down forever.
But it's, I mean, people, before, as we were waiting on the prognosis, what's going on with John Ross? Well, I don't know. He's walking off the field right now. I can't go talk to him in the press box. And you would have thought he died. I mean,
yeah.
I said the scene in the locker room after the game, according to Bengals fans, was that scene from Monty Python. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. And then the guy, I'm not dead yet. I feel
Drake
Kirkpatrick
had no idea he was a pallbearer.
No. We're going to need you to,
he's
we're
like,
gonna need you to
he's
carry
like,
this guy.
You guys don't talk to me. I'm not talking. We're like, no, Dre, we just want some memories of John Ross. I mean.
What was your favorite John Ross memory?
I mean, it was a little ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, it's John Ross, not dead, doing fine. Be back in a week or two. I doubt they would rush him back because he's not a starter. I mean,
right.
They don't need him. I mean, they need him, but I would say week three in Green Bay seems pretty ideal because they get the extra week and a half off rather than forcing him back against Houston or anything. But you never know. Maybe he comes out and he's feeling way better after the weekend, and he could be out there. We'll monitor that for you, of course. Okay, let's get into the cuts down to 53. As far as surprises, if you've been listening to the last three BBPs, or really even back into the offseason, not huge surprises, really, on cutdown day. Eric Winston, Wallace Gilberry, Will Clark, all guys that we talked about that probably were going to be gone. Will Clark, I think, was on the bubble. I think they would have liked to probably have kept Will Clark.
But he never
showed anything. When he was still out there playing the entire second half in Indy, you're
Marcus
like,
Hardison in the same boat there. Yep. I think for us, I mean, if you listen to your last BBP, we slotted Marquise Flowers in, really only making the team because Vontez was suspended, and clearly the club was like, no, we don't even want that.
Yep.
So to flip him. Obviously, we can't predict trades. I think Marquise Flowers would have been that last linebacker if New England didn't want him to ace their special teams or whatever. And I was mildly surprised, I guess, Paul, that like J.J. Dielman lost out to Alex Redmond.
Yeah.
That Brandon Wilson was a quick, like, come off NFI right before Thursday game, no practice, play,
get cut,
and then get cut. So I that's strictly because they're draft picks and this team doesn't really do that. I guess you can throw Jake Elliott into that, but that was a little different situation. So but loyal BBP listeners, you tweeted at us, we've been talking about Alex Redmond since OTAs.
Yep.
So it was, I say, mild surprise. Just, I'll own up to it. I mean, I didn't think Dielman, I had him on just because he was a pick.
Yeah.
But when he lost out to Alex Redmond, it's like, oh, well,
okay.
I kind of thought
they liked Redmond.
Yeah, that would be the case, too.
And Dielman gets claimed, so he's gone. He ends up in L.A. But the other picks are on the practice squad. So they keep those guys around. Jake Elliott on the practice squad. Brandon Wilson on the practice squad. And an advantage of not playing Brandon Wilson and them cutting him, I think they had to say, well, he's going to get through. No one has any tape on him.
Right.
Unless they just want to get a fast guy and see what they can do off their draft evaluation.
Guy, especially a guy who, I mean, the Bengals traded up to get him in the sixth, but at the time, I think that was just like, we have a bunch of six and sevens. Like,
let's make sure we get the guy we want.
Right. So, I mean, Brandon, I think, was clearly a guy who most teams maybe would have been a priority free agent, late pick. You know, they weren't going to dump a dude off their 53 at that point for him.
So he sticks around. I'm just going to run down the roster so you know who all is on, in case you were wondering. Three quarterbacks, but that will change. Jeff Driscoll broke two fingers in his hand the third throw into the Thursday preseason game, and A.J. McCarron had to say, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, my
so
God.
So he had to go back out and play the rest of the game. He threw the ball 30 times.
Yeah, it's crazy.
McCarron not feeling that. He was getting thrown down, hit. At one point, he was slow to get up, and you're saying, is Dalton going to have to go out there? Anyway, three quarterbacks, but Driscoll will go on IR. They pulled him through so that he can possibly come back later in the season. So he will be on IR, designated return. Wide receivers, they did keep seven. As I was telling you, it just Alex Erickson kept doing too many things to be valuable. And also, I think the Ross injury early, if there was a doubt, might have pushed him in. But we're going to need Alex Erickson. They only keep three running backs, which I think was a mild surprise. They've done four forever.
And I think the injury, Paul, played into part of that. I mean, Cedric Pierman injured a shoulder and or pec on coverage in Washington right to IR. And then Trey Carson, season-ending knee injury, or excuse me, I don't know if it's a knee injury, but undisclosed. Like, he had one carry against Washington and was gone.
They had it as a groin in the release. Groin?
Okay, yep. So lower body.
Lower body, yeah.
So all of a sudden, the two guys who were maybe fighting for a fourth spot were just gone.
Yeah, were gone, so they just went with three.
Yeah.
And they have three that are all going to be contributing anyway. Then technically, they kept their maybe a mild surprise. Seathan Carter lands on, and I got a bunch of who's Seathan Carter? He was sort of their last extra tight end. They liked him a lot.
Yeah, they do like him.
He's kind of like for Bengals fans, maybe a Reggie Kelly mold type, where he's more of a blocker. Probably not as much of a. He's not like Mason Trek was your out there
right.
catching the ball, but has to learn how to block. I see Uzama was like that. Eifert, Croft, Hewitt. Uzama, who will be sitting for a while.
Yeah, which is why I think Seathan Carter made
Which is why Seathan Carter made it. Yeah. Because Uzama's going to be out for a while. Once Uzama comes back, Seathan Carter probably will end up, they hope, on the practice squad. But they want to make sure they have that full lot of tight end H-backs. Offensive line, they end up keeping nine. It went about as we planned, except for the Dielman-Redmond swap. So your starters, which are Obwehi, Bowling, Bodine, Hopkins, Fisher, then your backups, Alex Redmond, Christian Westerman, TJ Johnson, Andre Smith. Andre Smith, the last few weeks, been swapping between left tackle and right tackle, so they feel like he can basically take either tackle spot if necessary. And he's your backup at both of those spots. Yeah. Defensive line, they only keep eight, which meant Will Clark went. Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, Pat Sims, Michael Johnson, then Jordan Willis, Andrew Billings, Ryan Glasgow, and preseason sensation Chris Smith, who they traded with Jacksonville from. So they now have to give up the seventh round conditional to the Jags.
Right, which they got back for Flowers.
Yes.
And then also Carl Lawson, as we kind of thought, is sort of that 8.5.
Yep.
I mean, Carl Lawson's going to be online in rush situations.
Yeah, he'll basically be your starting nickel edge.
Right.
And so we saw some of that in the preseason. I expect more of that in the regular season. So linebacker, they keep six. With maybe a surprise to some at the end, Nick Vigil, Vinny Ray, Kevin Minter, Jordan Evans, Carl Lawson, then Hardy Nickerson, the undrafted free agent, ends up making the team partially because of the Burfict suspension. They need an extra linebacker. They liked Hardy Nickerson, didn't want to let him go, and that's why they traded Flowers. They knew they were going to be cutting him anyway, and so they swapped him out, kept Hardy Nickerson. DBs, they keep nine. Draker Patrick, William Jackson III, Darquez Dennard, Josh Shaw, Kavari Russell, George Iloka, and this is one of the safeties, Iloka, Williams, Clayton Fedulum, and Deron Smith. Josh Shaw, it can do both, obviously. Right. Sean Williams will be down for a few weeks. I expect Clayton Fedulum to sort of move into the starting roster, but some sort of combination of guys there. Kavari Russell, really, they're not sold that he couldn't be a guy yet. I mean, I think they're going to hold on to him, see what he can do, and with Adam Jones out of game, they definitely need the extra corner there.
Yeah, and good on the Bengals for somehow getting a six-round draft pick for Bene Benwickery.
Wow.
I mean, Bene...
Conditional. But still.
Yeah, some good moments with, some interceptions and some PBUs, but then also getting beat by undrafted receivers on Thursday night.
Yeah.
So again, another guy who is going to be cut, and this team ended up getting two draft picks basically for free, potentially.
Yeah exactly. And that's stockpile. Even if they're back end of the draft, look at some of the Jordan Evans might be one of the most pleasant surprises of the preseason. He was a six round draft pick. I mean, Deron Smith, Clayton Fedulum, seventh round draft picks, guys that they have a lot of hope for that are going to contribute.
Yeah.
So they've got to hit there a little more often, but yeah. So those pile up. It's definitely all about quantity when you're talking about sixth and seventh round picks. You want to have as many shots at that as you can because it's low odds.
Real quick, Paul, on this one. You mentioned Will Clark, a very quiet end. It's an unsurprising, but it's worth sort of noting. Paul Dawson released again.
Yep.
Gone, not re-signed to the practice squad as he was a year ago when he was released. Third round pick, not that long ago. I mean, this was a guy.
A lot
who
of picks like that. Yeah.
We sat up here and it was he's like Vontaze Burfict. He could be Burfict. He's got and I remember he really impressed this time 2 years ago his rookie year in the preseason, and then all of a sudden here's a dude who goes away, and that's a third round pick, Paul, who never did a thing.
Not a thing. Except for show up late to stuff.
Yeah. So, I guess there's always one of those deals where, you know how football works. bunch of dudes get hurt. He's still out there. They bring him back because he knows, you know, conceivably what he's doing. But again, I mean, it's safe to say, you know.
Yep.
Wow. That's a it's a bust. It's a third round. It's a huge swing and a miss.
Yeah, huge, huge bust. You know, and you can't hit all the time in those rounds. No. I mean, you're hoping to hit every once in a while in those rounds. But we've talked about this a lot in this offseason we did about how often they missed in these middle rounds recently.
Third and round, it's hard to miss.
You can't miss like they have. Let's just do third round picks. Okay, 2012 was a pretty good draft for them. But Brandon Thompson was in there who they just cut. They also got Mohamed Sanu. That was a hit. Third round, 2013, Sean Williams. Okay, that's a hit. We'll give you that one. Then you get into Will Clark in the third round in 14. Then Tyler Croft and P.J. Dawson in 2015. And, I mean, those are a couple years in a row with that. And then you start talking about Margus Hunt, which was based almost a third. He was 2B in 2013, was a huge whiff. In the fourth round of that draft, Sean Porter, who you got nothing but one play from, Moonlight Graham. Right. And then, you know, Will Clark, we mentioned. You get into Marcus Hardison, 4B. They loved Marcus Hardison coming out of that draft. He gave you zilch in 3 years. I mean, these are big picks. Third, fourth rounds. Yeah. That's where the core of your roster is built.
Yeah,
they have a lot of whiffs.
You don't need to
there.
Be a star. Like, Sean Williams is not a star. But Sean Williams is a starter.
You want an above? You would like that to be the best case scenario. There is an above average starter, I think.
Yeah, and look, not everyone's gonna be a Pro Bowl. This goes back, Paul and I. We have this conversation off air a lot about baseball players, and like fans get all mad that like their second baseman hits 270 with 15 jacks. It's like, you know what? Sometimes you need that guy.
Yes.
Because you got to pay the first baseman $25 million. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just need the dude who's going to play 150 games in baseball, and that's okay. Yep. And that's kind of what you need out of these mid-round picks. And to me, Paul, I don't even think Tyler Croft, I mean, he plays, but he's not like an every-down starter.
He's just a guy right now. And you could say his career to this point has been below average for a tight end.
So, I mean, it's a few years of... So, I mean, we could get into that at a whole other time, but it was just...
But I wanted to run through those.
I wanted to mention the sort of quiet... and we knew this was coming, but again, it was like it's like official now if you want to with Paul Dawson.
So it kind of along those lines, I want to talk about the reformation of the roster because here's what we have now. We mentioned the starters were not really in doubt. So you have these two groups of the core, which they pretty much eliminated almost everyone who has seen the age of 30, right? If you've ever had a surprise birthday party for your 30th birthday, you are not here, probably. There's only a couple. They wiped that out, and they replaced it with a giant glut of young, inexperienced kids. Here's a number that I think we will be repeating, and maybe we can start giving them a name, like the I don't know. We need a good adjective. The 15, the I don't know. They need a number.
They need a name.
But these
help us out. Hashtag BBP.
Yeah, we need a name for these 15. We hope they're not flops 15. but it's 15 guys on this roster without a single snap of NFL experience. That is a huge number.
It is.
It's a huge number. This team last year was the 23rd youngest team. Or one
Which
of the older.
Pretty, well.
One of the older ones.
Oh, you're the other way. 20,
yeah,
okay,
the other
I
way.
You,
so,
yeah.
So like 23 out of 32.
Right.
So they were actually almost in the bottom quarter of being one of the older ones. Third this year. Yeah. They are the third youngest team. Only the Browns, who are infants, who have nothing but kids, and the Rams, who are trying to reform under Sean McVay,
those are
younger.
Teams that might combine for 5 wins.
right. So you have those two teams, and now the Bengals go from 23rd to 3rd, and people will say, oh, their average age is 25.33. Right. You can look at the math in my BX this week about the young roster. That last year, it was 26.4. So that's only just over 1 year. That is a light year when you're talking average age in the NFL. And to be the third youngest team, they have a core here in Dalton and Green and a lot of those guys that are needed. But if we play the inactive game, we talk about who's going to be inactive on Sunday against Baltimore. We know Sean Williams. We know C.J. Uzama, both people with experience, both players with experience. We know Jeff Driscoll. He's actually amongst the no snap club. But you've got two. So let's just say two.
Yeah.
Two of your inactives are those two guys. So that leaves 10 players that will be out there for the first time taking NFL snaps.
Yeah.
On Sunday against Baltimore. Whether those are starters or not, some will be parts of rotations. They're all on your special teams.
Yeah, sneaky fantasy play. Yeah. Ravens kick returner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's your first game. Guys are out there, and it's a whirlwind. Their eyes are huge. You're just hoping that they don't lose it. And to have 10 guys out there, at least, is a big deal. And you're counting on a lot of those guys to be a big part of your future. It's going to be a defining part of this team. As much as this is about Dalton and Green and those guys,
it kind of shows how young still this core is, though. That your average age is, because usually, Paul, like New England and the Chargers and the Saints and even the Packers now, like their average age goes up because their quarterbacks are like knocking on the door 35.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's the that's the interesting balance about this team heading into 2017 to me, is a core that they say has been there, done that with 5 playoff losses, but they've been there, won a couple division titles. They feel still has a window. They talk about the windows. They all feel they're in it because they're 28, 27 to 29. Yeah, they're probably. But then what you just said.
Yep.
15, it's like that. It's interesting.
To me, this is the question of, there's a couple questions of the year. And then you could probably say two or three. We'll start with one that you all know. We've said it a million times. Cedric Ogbuehi, Jake Fisher, it's on them. You wrote about it. It's the cover of our special section, which is out, came out Sunday. Pick that up. It's online. You can read about that there, the way they own it. Interesting story. We've talked about that plenty. That's obviously a number one question. Number two is, can Marvin Lewis and this coaching staff take these, hope we don't flop 15, and make them be contributors and maybe some difference makers this year? Or is 2017 just a stepping stone to 2018, where you've got 15 guys coming into their second season, and where you really feel like they're ready to really earn it,
right?
Where that's their window is their second and third season, where you really feel ready for them. Is 2017 just a year where those guys take growing pains, or do they contribute enough to have this team where it needs to be? Because this team will not make it to the playoffs if those 15 don't, for the most part, play well.
Right.
They need those guys to be something and to not fall on their faces big time.
Yeah, and so for me, Paul, now granted, they're fortunate that those guys are special teams, and you can lose games on special teams, as this club knows, as we'll get into the kicker. But really, to me, it's Andrew Billings and Carl Lawson and Jordan Willis. Like, those three need to be difference makers. Now, Andrew is going to be a difference maker in a way that only Paul Gunther and Jacob Bernie really tells us. I mean, his role in this defense is not to, make highlights.
No.
But if he's bad, then they're in trouble. So they're fortunate in that regard. But if all of a sudden teams are starting with their ball on their own 40 because none of these guys know what the heck they're doing on special teams and can't tackle and have flags and all this other crap,
they're in trouble.
So, yeah, you're right. It is. It's interesting how, Marvin hasn't had to do this in a long time. And it's the second year of these position coaches, but we'd have to look. I don't know the last time Jacob Bernie and Jim Haslett and Kevin Coyle had these, even Rob Livingston in the secondary, he was a scout. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He was still in college, I think, in 2011.
Right.
So, James Urban and Kyle Kasky only showed up a couple years ago. Now, granted, he had Jeremy as a rookie.
Yeah.
Gio was young, so maybe he's got a little track record with the backs. But, even as coaches, it's been a while.
Yes.
Since any of these dudes, or if ever,
have had such a young group. And, on offense, Trey Hopkins, he's your starting guard. Yeah. He's never.
No clue. No idea.
We don't know what he's going to be.
Nope.
We don't. If he's a disaster, that's a domino that goes down the line. We talked last
We might forget about Jake Fisher because Dre Hopkins is terrible.
And they'll be blaming each other. Right. Last year, how much did we talk about? Is Kevin Zeitler bad? Because Cedric Abuehi was so bad next to him, right? It's the same way the other way. So we don't know. That guy has never played before. They seem to like him, but we don't know what he's going to be.
Nope.
And Joe Mixon, I think will be. I don't think we have much doubt about what he can be. John Ross, how much of a contribution can he make? I don't know, but these are all guys that we don't know about.
Right.
You know, we're all about to learn about together. I think that's what makes this team exciting as far as fun to watch.
Right.
Because you're going to learn a lot every week about who these guys are. They got so many young, fast guys who might not know where they're going, but once they figure it out, will be good. Or they're going to just death spiral.
Which is a nice, that's a little teaser for our predictions later.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll in mind. So I just think, you know, and then there's Marvin Lewis. And you mentioned 2011, who the last time he had a roster that everyone was doubting, that was super young, they outperformed expectations by a massive amount. They made the playoffs in 2011 with the reboot roster that was just a
rookie
gutting
quarterback.
A rookie quarterback, and A.J. Green, their superstar, was rookie year.
Right.
I mean, he found a way to throw that team together to make a playoff run and go above expectations. Can he do that again?
Right.
With all of these, to get these core kids to start providing results for you. You know, he'll point to that year, and he'll also point to that year saying, well, Green and Dalton are also way better now, so they can kind of carry us a little bit. When you've got the quarterback, it's a little different when your roster is so young. But they're still – and this developing all these guys for a coach who has no guarantees beyond this year.
Right.
You know, going into the first time, he doesn't have a contract the next season.
Right.
In a year where he's got to get all these kids to play good.
Right.
So, you know, I just think it's a really, really interesting development that we saw coming. But when you see it in front of your eyes and you can compare year to year, it's dramatic. Okay. Speaking of seeing it in front of your eyes, we've got to talk about 50 West.
Yeah.
50 Fest is coming up. It's getting closer. September 23rd, we've been telling you about it for a while. Local beer. Of course, you all got all your 50 West beers out there. You've got local music, food trucks, all this. It's a huge, huge party that they're having out there at 50 West out there off 50. You can't beat it. There's even going to be a petting zoo. Huge, huge party, September 23rd, all day. You got to get out there and check it out at 50 West because it's going to be nuts. Make sure you get out there.
Yes.
Do that. Okay. Let's go to something I'm excited about.
What are you excited about?
I'm excited to talk about kickers. I got to tell you, people be mad, son.
Yeah.
They're taking after you on the BBP.
Yeah.
They are mad. They are mad.
I would say that was the overwhelming sentiment I got.
There was some on the other side, but if I was gauging reaction, now granted, I'm gauging it off social media, which is like 80% negative.
Yeah, that's true.
In general, happy people don't go on there because they're too busy being happy in their lives. But it was almost all people angry that they cut Jake Elliott, the fifth round pick out of Memphis, and kept Randy Bullock. Here's the thing, and people that saw the preseason games, one, Randy Bullock was better.
Yeah.
Okay? He made 6 of his 7 kicks. He missed his first kick of the preseason on Thursday against Indy, and everyone says, yeah, but it was a game-winner attempt, and all that guy does is miss game-winners.
Yeah.
And a knock, certainly.
Yes.
Certainly, he missed the one in Houston last year, and we've heard the asterisk on that about the operation that you wrote about was not good because he was new and didn't know he started early. But he missed it. And then he misses one in the fourth preseason game against the Colts, which if we're counting fourth preseason games as game winners,
well,
I guess it is.
For those guys, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Should be noted, Jake Elliott also missed two game winners, one from 46 and one from 60.
Yeah.
So if we're comparing the two, right? And then in practices, Randy Bullock was been – I can't think of a day. Can you think of a day where Randy Bullock wasn't at least the same, if not better? I can't think of a day he was worse than Jake.
No, he was never worse.
Never worse.
Always
we tracked
better.
Every kick that was open to us.
Yeah.
Never was he worse.
And this goes back to onside kicks, directional kickoffs. I mean, even the quote-unquote little things.
Yeah.
that really matter. Like, I mean, you might only have to do one onside kick in a year, but it better be good.
Yeah.
And Randy Bullock was better at that stuff.
Yeah. And made plenty more kicks there. I mean, there was a day where Jake Elliott missed like four.
Yeah.
And Bullock was just booming them through. Yeah. And it was kind of a game changer day. And then you go back to the scrimmage.
Yeah.
Where Jake Elliott missed an extra point. He missed another one from 40s. We saw him miss 40s all preseason.
Yeah.
And Bullock just kept boom, 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 hitting him down the middle, hitting from 50s.
Yeah.
He was 4 of 5 from 46 plus.
Yeah.
In games. That's not counting the scrimmage that he boomed to 50 plus. So let's just say all that, and then so your retort is, as an angry fan, is but he misses clutch kicks, and we know his track record. Okay. Yeah. The clutch kicks thing I got into in the walkthrough last week. He missed his first, if you look at last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter in a game within 3 points, or up three, down three, if you look at that, and overtime, he is 3 of 6 in his career. Not good. NFL average for those, this is just since 2013, NFL average is 78%, obviously. Yeah. That's 50. He missed the first two in 2013. Since then, he had made 3 in a row in those situations until the Houston one, which, again, we mentioned the asterisk. Yeah. And then this thing. It's a knock.
Yeah.
Certainly. I'll take that. As far as the future thing goes, what have you seen from Jake Elliott that makes you think he's Justin Tucker?
Right.
I mean, do we see – and I'm here's my point. And I'm not defending it as, you know, necessarily. I'm just pointing out what the team is saying. Is all of what I've just said, take all of that into consideration. The players, the other 52 mm-hmm. players all see that. How do you sell – to the other 52 players about to try to sell out to get this team into the playoffs and win games, how do you sell the guy that they all watch with their own eyes over and over again not be as good making this team and determining wins and losses, as we learned from last year? How do you sell that on day one? And you're also trying to sell, doesn't matter what you do before you get here. It only matters what you do when you're here.
Right.
How do you sell that to this team that you say you're trying to win? Because, oh, well, maybe in the future he's going to get better.
Right.
You can't. You can't sell that to the other 52 and say you're trying to win.
Right.
You can't.
No, and I maybe some of this goes into last year too, Paul, where they held on to Mike probably for about 3 weeks too long.
Yep.
You know, and look, they're short. Yeah, we just mentioned all the roster turnover, but, you know, that means 2/3 of the roster watch that happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're sitting in a way different boat at 500 after the Washington game, you know, and you're in a different boat if, you know, it's just, you couldn't do it again. And, like, you know, we'd like to translate Marv sometimes, and when he said late Thursday night, when we asked him about the kickers, and he said, more importantly, the team will feel good about it, which to me means that they clearly made up their mind even before Indy, and I think that was very telling when Marvin said the team feels good. It wasn't me. It wasn't Darren. It wasn't Duke. It was the team will feel good. And to me, that meant right there, it's got to be the veteran who won it.
He won it.
Because players, we always say this, and it's a cliche because it's true. Players always know. Players, and sometimes they know before coaches.
Definitely.
And with kicker, and you're right, Paul, that you just couldn't do it. And I think the fact that Jake Elliott is back on the practice squad shows, A, they still think there's hope there. B, it keeps pressure on Randy Bullock to not slip. And, again, it's practice. If Jake Elliott starts to figure it out and the pressure comes off a little bit and he's being better, the team will also see that.
Yeah.
So if the 45-yarder and Randy misses those again,
you got right here in the house where you can make a move.
Right.
Absolutely. It's just a tough.
I get it.
It's just tough. I get it too. And I understand the disappointment.
Right. Fifth round pick, Zane Gonzalez.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Should you stick with the guy that, because he was a pick, and that be the reason? How'd that work out for Tampa and Roberto Aguayo last year? You know, you can't just, because the guy's a pick, stick with him. And I've mentioned many times on this podcast, guys that have bounced around earlier in their career and then just found a home and gotten comfortable and had 5 to 10 great years. Mike Nugent was like that.
Yeah.
And he had great years here. And across the league, some of the best kickers in this league, yeah. literally the best by the numbers in this league the last few years. The top 10 last year, only three of them have been with one team their entire right. career.
Yeah, you can't really hang – I mean, you can hang a star on Justin Tucker because he is a star. But nobody thought he was going to be one.
No, he was undrafted.
When he first came – yeah. So
you never know. You just you can only go by what you have, and they had a ton of data. Yeah. And as Marvin Lewis said, if it would have been at all close
– right.
If it would have been at all close, we would have gone with Jake Elliott, was his point.
Yeah.
And I agree with him on this one. And I, God knows I don't agree with him on a lot. But in this particular case, he's right. If it wasn't close, and yeah. that was the problem, you couldn't make the argument about potential because the team couldn't buy that.
Right.
Okay. Kicker, soapbox. Everyone can now breathe. I feel like I had too much coffee today. I'm talking way too fast. I'm too hyped today. It's because the season's finally here, yeah. you know?
Real football.
It feels good when you get like the preseason off your chest.
Yeah.
And we can start talking about real football and not worry about minutia and making enough stuff in the offseason. Go play, earn all the positivity. Gone.
Yep.
It could all be gone by 4 o'clock on Sunday.
That's true.
All the hope.
Oh, not even four.
Yeah, you're
like
right.
112.
112.
The 57-yard kickoff return to start the game.
Who are these guys? Young kids are killing us. There's no doubt about it. Jim, can you tell us about ZipRecruiter, please?
Yeah, I can, because you know what? There are about 30 dudes on this Bengals team
who
are jumping on ZipRecruiter. Hey, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? That's how you got to do it. You don't want them to find you.
Nope.
You want ZipRecruiter to find you because it's hard to find great talent, and you got to find it for a successful business, and that's with ZipRecruiter. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then powerful technology, Paul, efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter's different. Unlike other sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. No juggling emails. No calls to the office. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So, Paul, find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. So, right now, our listeners, and you're listening.
That's you.
Can post on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go
free.
To ZipRecruiter.com/beat. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beat. One more time, try it. Bookmark it. ZipRecruiter.com/beat.
There you go. There's your ZipRecruiter knowledge. Check it out. You know a person that would need to go post a job? Someone who was in charge of Geno Atkins transcripts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have thought that person, they definitely would have gotten hooked up with a job by now doing something else because there was no, you couldn't do it. But yet, Jim, you persisted.
Yeah, I did.
You did. Over the course of the last 2 years, since the last time he talked, which was after the Steelers playoff game, which was unbelievable what he chose that time to talk.
I know, right?
Still to this day, the ultimate heel turn.
Right.
5 minutes of gold from Geno Atkins after that. That was the last time he's talked. But yet, after every game, or pretty much in every open locker room, you still went up to Geno and asked if he would talk today. And his answer has always been no.
Yes, always no.
Always. Until
Vontaze Burfict suspended. Somehow I think Geno picks when something happens with Tez.
He does. Like, and so then the Tez suspension happens. Tez addresses it. Marvin addresses it. Geno says, I'm available. Jim goes up to him. Geno says, I'll talk. And he did.
He spoke some words.
He spoke words. Questions were asked. I gotta set the scene for you. Oh. So Jim walks up. Geno says yes. The rest of us are all sort of standing in the middle. We had been doing other things. And we look over, as we do every time you go, and wait for you to come back to our circle right. after you get denied. And when you don't, we're all just staring, watching in amazement. It's like watching the solar eclipse.
Right.
We all needed glasses. and then we notice the whole time we're watching, Gino's just watching you talk. And then... Yep. Gino's never speaking words, it seems. Because Geno, he would speak 2-3 words and then you'd have to keep firing questions.
Yep.
But credit to you, you had a long list.
And so I had a transcript on Cincinnati.com last week, which I cleaned up for my sake. Yeah. You guys are going to hear the raw audio. It's awful. I struggle. It's bad.
Gino breaks you down.
Yeah, basically, Paul, because as I start to ask these questions, I realize I can't go into yes or no territory.
No, no, you got to open it up.
So it starts, like, these things are twisting in my head with, like, okay, you can't give him the out of yes or no. It's got to be something where he has to formulate some words together. Which technically happened, so I think that's a victory for me, or at least a foul ball.
Definitely. No, that is a huge victory. A thing happened. Somewhere in a story in the Cincinnati Inquirer, you're going to see two quotes and five words in the middle of it, and it's going to say, Gino Atkins said. Said. That is a huge win.
It is happening.
Quote, giant bold face, 45.
It's happening.
Mike Balfley, if you hear this on the desk, get it right now. Right now, we need this pull quote. So anyway, here is 5 minutes and 12 seconds of pure, unadulterated hashtag Gino Speaks.
Getting your work in, but also being a good teammate. And I don't know, do you care if Clint's able to do things with you? How do you kind of try to improve yourself while the balance of letting them get their work in as well, if they can?
Go out there, do my job.
What are you looking to do in those? Is it technique? Is it footwork? Since you can't really get up under pads, you know what I mean, with on the teammate level, what are you trying to work on, I guess, in those?
Do my job.
Just do your job.
Yeah.
Is there, you know, for this year, you know, I talked to AJ a little bit. You know, he says he wants to play like 5-6 more years. He's like, I want to be Hulk. He's like, at that point, 7-8 years in, all pros. I know you've said it in the past about some goals. How do you? I don't know. Do you think about that in terms of where you're at in the game and getting to that point at all?
I do not.
His contemporaries, you know, with Sue and Donald. I know when you guys have played them, these guys will. You know, they feel you're a little underappreciated, underrated.
I don't feel that way.
No? So you get a little, like the top 100 player type thing. Does that matter at all? Or all pro, does that type of thing matter when people recognize you in that way?
What matters is me doing my job.
Yeah. What do you, when you say to do your job, how do you view that? Is that simply just disruption? Is it winning one-on-ones, winning double teams?
Whatever the coaches ask for me to do.
I have to ask, because we weren't able to talk to you, the Cam Irving game 2 years ago in Cleveland, when stuff like that, where you're just, Pittsburgh has brought up a few, I think back in 13, the Pittsburgh game, where you were just, I think Black came in and sang a song to you about dominating that game afterwards. What is that like for you when
I don't remember.
You don't remember either of those games? Bill Belichick said, Flesh. He's like, Gino would be the number one pick in this draft, every draft since he's come out. And I think his quote was, he can ruin a game by himself. I don't know. I guess that appreciation factor from other coaches, things like that. That means they game plan for you. So how have you seen that change maybe over the years with you, when coaches feel you can do that as a solo player in a defense? Is it flattering? Is it difficult to do your job?
Yes, it's just to that question. I'm doing their job and I'm doing my job.
Defensively, this year, you know, you guys are 7-8 years in. You guys have been together. There's really no surprises. What are your thoughts? Have you seen this group kind of come together? Obviously, some changes with Domitar, some different linebackers. Have you seen you guys kind of come together a little bit here?
I see everybody doing their job.
Yeah. Was Washington the best, the 3-3 and out, the pick 6? Is that kind of the thing you guys wanted to see out of your starting group?
Water's not a bad guy, man.
I would say so.
Yeah. You're kind of young guys next to you here. A little different. Andrew, powerful dude. Any thoughts on how you've seen him kind of develop now that he's been healthy for a preseason?
He's doing his job, so I like it. Yeah.
He said his job is to make it easier for you. He's like, I'm here to backfill, take two people, in these couple games with some snaps. I don't know. What's the potential there? Domatau was next to you for so long. Are they different at all? Can he do some different things?
Ask me that 10 years from now.
Gotcha. Is there, I will have to, it's the news of the day. I mean, it's 3 years in a row that you know, Tez might not be here to open for you. He's such a dynamic player. Just your thoughts on A, were you surprised by it and the number of games it was and what might that do to you guys to try to get ready for Baltimore?
No comment.
And I guess just finally, social media wise, you're out there, you interact with fans, things like that. What I know you have said this, you don't really enjoy this part of the job, I guess. But you share stuff. I mean, your wedding pictures are out there and things like that. I mean, so what's the balance there for you in terms of wanting to connect directly in that way? And you know, people ask you questions, you'll tweet, you know what I mean? So what's appealing about that?
I just post stuff.
Okay. So it's just more of a stuff that you feel you want to get out and people react anyway.
No, I just post stuff.
And you just post stuff. Awesome. Well, appreciate it, man.
No problem.
No, thank you. Should come on our...
So at the end there, you start to hear another question that I cut off, and it's me asking Gino to appear on Beyond the Stripes.
Yeah.
And Gino looked at me, and he said, nope. So Gino won't be on Beyond the Stripes, at least that we can tell.
But Gino, we pay. Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Don't care. Speaking of Beyond the Stripes, I hope you remember we're at Holy Grail this year. We had Andrew Billings on our first show last week. He was great. I'm just happy the platform didn't cave in.
Yeah.
You know, it was the first time we'd used that platform.
Yeah. And we roll up a 320-pounder.
And we choose to break it in with Andrew Billings. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, we will not get another Bengal ever if this dude falls off this platform or it breaks. Luckily, it held up.
Yeah.
So you know when you're going to be on the Stripes, you won't see a Bengal fall.
No.
Well, at least the platform will.
Right.
Because we tested that thing. That's as much as you can. But anyway, this Tuesday, Holy Grail Bank, 7 o'clock, you can come see Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, when Johnny Carson... He would always have Don Rickles on.
Yeah.
Right? Eifert's like our Rickles.
Yeah.
You know? He has the most fun. He understands the show.
Yeah.
We have him on all the time. Yeah. We'll probably have him on like 3 more times this
year. Yeah, why not?
Just because.
He likes it.
He does like it. Ever since I think we did the golf challenge with him.
Yeah.
He loves to come and get involved in stuff.
Yeah.
Which
And he likes to make fun. He knows it's a chance to rip on Doc, you, and me.
Yes. And he likes that we aren't afraid to rip on him a little bit. And that's why I think we might play Operation. I don't know. I wish if we could put Tyler Eifert's head on the Operation guy. I don't know. I'm going to ask him if it maybe is a little too far.
Right.
But, I mean, a couple years ago, we had this sort of now defunct show called, I don't know what we called it, Beyond Baseball or something. It was trying to be Reds Beyond the Stripes.
Yeah.
We had Dr. Krim. But Reds is hard. You can't get players because they're always playing games. So we had Dr. Timothy Krebcheck on. Oh, I decided to play Operation with him. I thought it would be fun. And he's basically just like, you know there's no way I can win on this, right? I'm only going to look bad. And I was like, yeah, I didn't really think of it that way. I just thought it would be funny. So we'll see if Tyler has the same concept as Dr. Krebcheck did. All right. We've covered so many bases now.
Yeah.
Let's get into our season predictions and kind of run through where we think this year is going to go. We can kind of go through game by game quickly and then kind of get into why. So if you look at our predictions, we do not talk about this stuff beforehand. I was honestly super excited to see where you were going to land once I finished up
mine. And
then
I disappointed you.
You did, because I did. I didn't want us to be the same.
Yeah.
Two years in a row. I know. It is. Last year did not go.
We both
said 10-6 last year, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I still maintain if they had a kicker, 9-7, I would have counted that as close enough. Sorry, Mike.
But they didn't.
No, but they didn't.
But they sure didn't.
They did not.
So, let's just kind of run through our predictions. We both say 8-8. That's where we ended up.
Yeah, I've been on that boat since January, Paul, and I haven't been convinced otherwise.
Yeah, you have. One thing that is different about us is that I have the concept of the late charge in them,
yeah,
which is a kind of an ode to the 90s Bengals. That when they would go 7-9, it always because they started winning a bunch of pretty much meaningless games at the end and building hope for the next year, and then promptly slamming that hope down the next season at the beginning. Yeah. Now, I think, as we talked a lot about this young team, there's a lot of young developing guys here.
Yeah,
I think by the end of the year, they start to figure it out and start to put the thing together and do build some hope for 2018.
Yeah.
So I kind of have a late charge landing them at 8-8, but I think they're going to fall behind early.
Yeah, I still venture in the optimistic territory. I've been that guy the last 2 years. I've been the guy who's picked them to win a playoff game the last 2 years. And this year, Paul, I see a 10-win roster in a lot of ways. I mean, there's over a half a dozen Pro Bowlers. You know, I always expect and assume health when I do these things. So that means Tyler Eifert plays. That means Vontaze Burfict plays 13 games and whatever. The line issues, I can't get over yet. That they have to prove it to me. The defense not allowing a bunch of points early like they did a year ago has to prove it to me. And the offense scoring points has to prove it to me.
Particularly in red zone, yeah.
So my 8-8 is, I guess, a little more optimistic in that, like, I see a 10-win team. There's not a big leap between 8-8 and 10-6. So that's why I'm not, I think you, when you say they start a little slow, I think they're in it. You know what I mean?
And you have them, what do you have them at the bye after 5 weeks?
At the bye.
Because the first five games is far from overwhelming.
No, I have them at 3-2 with the big one being Thursday against Houston.
Yeah.
To me, and you and I talked about this off air, where week two could be a playoff game.
Yeah.
And honest to God, I just put an L for Houston because they can't beat Houston.
Yeah.
Their best team since 88 couldn't beat Houston. And whoever the hell was playing quarterback here.
The only time was in 14. On the road when Ryan Mallett remembered to show up, and that was unfortunate for Houston.
So, like, that was their best team, their best offense in 20, and they couldn't score, and they couldn't do a damn thing here. So I don't know what it is about the Texans.
Yeah.
And everything is pointing to a Bengals win because Houston has all that stuff going on with their home.
Yep.
And whatever's going, short week, Tom Savage. I mean...
How many bad Texans quarterbacks have we seen come in and beat the Bengals, though?
So I have them 3-2 at the bye because I don't think Hugh Jay's team with a rookie QB is sort of coalesced at that point, although I do think the Browns will be better later in the year. I think Buffalo's a joke. And I do think they beat Baltimore just because, you know, Joe Flacco's like
half a man.
He's almost kind of turkey bowl. Terrence West is definitely turkey bowl.
Joe Flacco in quarterback tier rankings always blows my mind.
Yeah. Super Bowl.
The one five-game stretch. Yeah.
$100 million.
Dude, I'll tell you, good for him.
Yeah. Oh,
but I don't see it. When I see the QB tier ratings and it has Dalton 20-plus and Flacco 11,
right?
I don't understand that. No. I've seen a lot of Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of bad decisions, bad interceptions, lack of cohesiveness on the offense.
Yeah.
I think I don't see him as a winning quarterback. He's got that run in him.
Yeah.
Clearly, give him that. But I agree with you on that. And they're so banged up. Their offensive line is such a mission. Their offensive line might be worse than this one.
Oh, I don't even know who's healthy. I mean, Marshall Yanda's about it, right? I don't even
Ronnie
know.
Ronnie Stanley returned to practice. But they were adding, they're adding all kinds of offensive linemen off other teams' trash heaps. It's a mess.
So I think they can win. So I think Green Bay's an L.
Yep.
So really, Paul, that Houston game. So I've got them 3-2 at the bye.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked if they're 4-1. And quite frankly, I think if they're going to make the playoffs, if they're going to get to 9 wins, they got to be 4-1.
Need to be. I completely agree with you. I have them 3-2 as well. Same exact wins and losses in that stretch. And I agree with you. That Houston game is a massive swing game. I mean, if we're talking about playoffs for them, they need to come out. They need to come out of this 4-1. They need to come out 2-0.
Yeah,
you know, don't
got to have it.
Because after the bye, it gets interesting at Pittsburgh. You know, we know how those normally go, and Pittsburgh looks ready to go. Indy, we'll be watching Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I've got them winning there because Andrew Luck isn't starting the season playing. Now, granted, that's 7 weeks from 8 weeks from now. But, I don't believe in
him. We don't know. I mean, he could come back and get hurt immediately. Right. Who knows? I think if Andrew Luck plays, the Bengals lose. And I think if he doesn't, they win easily. Obviously, yeah. Andrew Luck is – I mean, that team is so drastically different with or without him. So his injury will be one worth keeping an eye on. Yeah. By all accounts, he should be back by then.
Yeah.
But keep an eye on that.
So I've got them winning regardless because I think the Colts are trash.
Yeah. then you get three road games in a row at Jacksonville.
Jaggy.
We know how jaggy they are. the Bengals should win that game. Henny, Bortles, whatever. Tennessee, I think you can make an argument between that and Green Bay that this is the toughest game on their entire schedule. I mean, that Tennessee is going to be really good this year. Both of us have Tennessee making a playoff run.
Yeah.
I have them losing to New England in the AFC title game. Isn't that what you had? We both have the same thing. Yeah. They are stacked.
I think they're this year's Dallas.
Yeah.
In that they just run it down people's throats. And since no one practices that, nobody plays that way. I mean, they almost made the playoffs that way last year anyway.
Yeah. And I think they would have made a lot of noise in the playoffs if it wasn't for Mariota's crazy injury. I thought they were one of the teams that had the best shot to dethrone New England last year. So we'll see. And they added a lot of weapons. I think by the end of the year, Corey Davis is a player. At Denver, I just can't.
Yeah,
I know that they're like
Turkey Bowl might be playing.
Turkey Bowl might be. He's back.
Oh yeah. I've got that one as an L strictly because it's a road game in Denver. It's the third straight road game. I'm not. That's not so much losing because I think Vance Joseph's first year as a coach. And Simeon or Lynch or whoever's playing quarterback is that much better. Their defense has had some issues already. TJ Ward they cut. I mean, that's not a great Denver team. That could be an interesting swing game for this club, especially coming back to, home against Cleveland, which I have as a win.
Mm-hmm.
But 11 weeks in, Isaiah Crowell could have 1,000 yards at that point. I mean, I think Hugh's going to have some stuff going in the right direction at that point. So I think that Denver game I have as an L. Cleveland I have as a win. Probably the closest Battle of Ohio game in years, though.
Yeah. And then you get Pittsburgh at home. So you get Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Chicago in a row. And Pittsburgh, that game right there, if the season sort of –
like last
floats
year.
Along,
yeah.
Has a feeling of a nail in the coffin type of game, could be for this team, and we know how those have gone against the Steelers for
what
the most
melting.
Part.
Last year, remember that it was they were playing so good, they were up, and then just the penalty meltdown in the red zone.
The Steelers just woke up like, oh, they're going to try to play hard today, and they came out and just whipped the floor with them. So anyway, I think that could be the case again. Which in my scenario, after a Pittsburgh loss, I have them sitting at 5-7.
And I think they're at 6-6.
Though. Yeah, so I think then they make a little run. I think they beat Chicago, Detroit, and finish the season at Baltimore with a win. And I think at Minnesota is like a really, really close, hard fought game that probably they lose.
I did the same strictly for home. They're the road team.
Yeah.
Kind of pick 'em situation. I think Detroit on Christmas Eve is they might have a new coach. What's his name? Jim Bob? Jim Bob might be coaching at that point.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah, depending on how bad it goes with their $200 million quarterback or whatever the hell he is. And
boy, you talk about I've kind of gone on Matt Stafford rants. And here's another thing about Matt Stafford, who's a fine quarterback. It's fine. But the amount of money that dude has made, and no one really talks about the fact he's never won a playoff game. And yet Andy Dalton, it's all anyone ever talks about, and he
because
makes
here's the thing,
nothing
Andy
compared
has actually
to Stafford.
Gotten to the playoffs.
Right.
Matt Stafford's gone once, right? They lost to Dallas?
Once they did lose to Dallas. Maybe twice. I'd have to go back and look. Yeah. But regardless.
Right.
And he's been in the league way longer, never been able to – they have bad defense, whatever.
Right.
I'm not going to get into QB wins.
Right.
But – I'm just saying.
A lot gets hung around Andy Dalton's neck here.
It does.
On a national level.
On
it's
a national
really
level. And it's really, but yet Stafford, because he was number one pick,
right.
Golden boy.
Yeah.
And Andy Dalton was second round pick, ginger boy.
Right.
It's like they view them through different lenses. Yeah. When you really look at it, though, how different are the two? Well, monetarily, significantly.
Right.
And it's just, it's a kind of amazing, although I think Andy will do a pretty good job of making that up with his next contract, probably. All right. So what do you have? Run me through your playoffs real quick.
I've got the Titans beating the Raiders and the Steelers beating the Texans. So basically, I have, since Texans are winning that game against the Bengals early, and for some reason, Bill O'Brien always manages to win 9 games, and that team squeaks in. So that's my wild card round. Divisional round, I've got the Pats beating the Steelers. I've got the Titans beating the Chiefs because I think Andy Reid chokes. And then title game, Pats over Titans.
Yep. I have Pats over Titans in the title game as well. I've got Kansas. I have 3 teams from the AFC West making it. And none of them being Denver. I don't know why I believe in San Diego.
I don't know why either.
I don't either. I just you need a team that just kind of
got
comes
like 12,000 people cheering them on.
I think I love that concept of like they're a great, exciting upstart team
and nobody cares
and no one is there.
Yeah,
and just to make the NFL look terrible,
right,
for trying to stick another team in LA. So I really like that idea, and that's kind of what I'm hanging myself on. But I got them losing in the first round. But yeah, so I like Kansas City making it to the next round over Pittsburgh. But the rest of it, Oakland, Tennessee, kind of a coin flip. But I think Oakland's going to regress slightly this year.
Me too.
So NFC, I mean, I've got Dallas over Tampa Bay in the NFC title game. I think Dallas, when they get Elliott back, they end up getting the screw you, Rodge run that Brady did last year.
Yeah.
And
Rodge love it if it's Pats Cowboys. Actually, probably would, to be honest.
But I think Tampa Bay is a team is really set up. And Winston needs to kind of take a next step, but he's in that time of his career where he should be.
Yeah, I've got I don't know why I picked the Giants to make the playoffs again, you know, but I got Giants over Cardinals. I've got the Bucs actually beating Dallas in the wild card round. I am not a Dallas believer. I think that line is really going to step back this year. I think if Zeke, I guess when we're making these predictions, he's still suspended for 6 games.
Right. Well, that's a mess.
So whatever, I've got Packers over Bucs, Seahawks over Giants, Packers over God. You know, at some point, the Patriots have to play the Packers in the Super Bowl.
How could this not happen? Because every year we pick it.
So I've got the Packers beating the Patriots.
Yep. I've got Patriots over Cowboys in the Super Bowl. I feel like it's probably pretty safe
Sheldon
to just keep
Richardson
picking
might
the Patriots.
Be huge in Seattle.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We did these predictions before that.
Yeah.
And
but I've got Seattle in the NFC Championship, so I still look smart.
I've got them in the divisional round losing to Tampa Bay.
I'm smart.
You're smart. I'm dumb. All right. Okay. Let's wrap this thing already. Why are you mad? I assume that you're mad for many different reasons.
I'm always mad. At first, I was really happy because Gino talked to me.
Yeah.
So that kind of made my day. I was going to try to bow out of this and be like, that makes me happy. Enough. Untimed traffic lights.
Oh, boy. You and my dad. Dude.
What I mean, come on.
How do you not, as a community, get together and realize this all needs
when
to work
when the one
together?
Light turns green, and then before you even get to the next one, it's red. And then you're looking down at the other one, it's green. And there's no cars.
Nope.
Because guess what? I'm at the red light.
Mad credit to downtown Cincinnati does one of the best jobs of any city I've been on, letting traffic flow through. The lights all turn. It's all timed out perfectly. I credit them.
Yeah. But you know,
many
what?
Communities, it's not the
no.
case. You got to be on the communities.
Northern Kentucky doesn't have that.
No, they don't.
No.
No, they don't.
Chicago doesn't have it. So it drives me crazy, Paul. There's nothing that, you're sitting there and you're just, and I'm in the yard, which goes 0 to 60 in like 9 seconds. You can't make that light.
No.
You can't.
It's impossible.
No. Oh, I hate that.
Who goes faster 0 to 60, you or a bike? Like, do bikers beat you off the line?
No, because I hit the bike. We already established my dislike and distrust of bicyclists on the street.
You just make sure that they don't embarrass you off the line by taking them out first.
It's back tire. Why do you think I got no hubcaps?
Bikers. Bikers. That's great. I'll try to get you out of trouble and move on. Why I'm happy? You know why I'm happy? Haters gonna hate. I'm happy about the haters this weekend.
Yeah?
I saw haters on my timeline at me, but you know why I liked it? Because they came from both sides. too positive and too negative in one weekend. Everybody thought I was too positive, and they thought I was too negative.
Yeah.
They called me haters on both sides. I really appreciated a nickname I was given, Paul Downer Jr.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes, yes, I like that. I like that. But then everybody else told me how I'm too positive too. So I don't know. So if I'm both too negative and too positive,
you're 8-8.
I'm 8-8. I'm right down the middle. I must be right down the middle. Yep. So I'm happy that people are on both sides hating on me right now.
I agree with that. That should make you happy. That means you're doing your job.
Means I'm doing my job.
Yep.
And I hope Paul Downer Jr. becomes a thing. I just got to credit him. That was a nice little nickname. Nice little nickname. Yeah. I appreciate it. So anyway, we are out of here. I want to remind everybody running back down. Guess what? It's game week. That means BBP2 is back. The deuce is back. So later this week, we will have the second BBP, more of a game preview every week. We bring extras from BTS, stuff we get in the locker room on Wednesdays, that type of action. So keep an eye out. BBP2 will be back this week. Of course, I mentioned earlier, Beyond the Stripes, every Tuesday for these first couple months of the season. Holy Grail. Tyler Eifert this Tuesday, and then it's supposed to be, hopefully the injury doesn't throw this off, we have scheduled John Ross coming next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So come on down, 7 o'clock, Holy Grail Banks, this Tuesday. Eifert next week, John Ross. Anything else going on? Those are our next two big items. Of course, Cincinnati.com every single day. Pick up Cincinnati Inquirer. We've got that. Happy to bring it to you. And we are out of here. So we'll talk to you on the deuce later in the week.